Yesterday's come from behind win for the Red Sox makes it 9 in a row. I don't know how we arrived here, but we have arrived here. That's 14 of the last 16 for the Boston Red Sox, who are on an absolute run. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, this is DJ from Hyannis on the Cape. Hey, DJ.
How you doing, gang?
Good morning.
I miss you, sweetheart.
DJ, can I just mention the fine people at Baxter's? Because on my way from the road show to Nantucket, I had one of the better mudslides I've ever had in my life from Baxter's. So I just want to say hello.
They'll tear you up, man.
Unbelievable place. But go ahead. What's up?
That's what I want to say. Let's do this. Do your run at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
But we're going to do the Greg Hill Laugh Olympics.
Listen,
now.
First of all, I just want.
Hold on, my friend.
What?
I want you to do the whole quadribog.
What?
Now you want. Quadribog. You talk crap about this one over here, this coach over here. Go throw up, huck up threes at the gun.
No. Listen. I had a throwaway line with Craig Breslow during a road show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like I'm more likely to go on a run than this team is, Craig.
Oh, geez.
Okay? Throwaway line. Curtis or Wiggy or maybe Mego, I don't know who, turned it into some sort of a payoff bet that was necessary.
Right.
But I never said that. I never said, hey, Craig, if this team goes on a run, I will go on a run.
I think now, this was a Curtis thing.
I'm being a good sport about it. But we're not turning it into some kind of a 5K or a 7K or something like that. I like the suggestion from a listener earlier that I run around the bases at Fenway Park. Now that's
provided. That was me.
Did you suggest that?
Yeah,
Sean?
It was me.
Okay,
I like that.
If the Red Sox are able to make that happen, then possibly I will do that.
I think we can make that happen.
Well, I don't know, because very busy over there. They have all kinds of things going on. You've got a little brief break here, but
right.
I don't know if there'll be enough turnaround time to make it happen tomorrow or Wednesday morning. I have no idea whether that will not. I said earlier, Craig Breslow deserves to be there. Mm-hmm. I was at times have been all over him, at times during the season. So he deserves to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Trash talking me while I run around the bases.
Him and Sam. Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Him and Sam Kennedy, though, because Sam Kennedy got some booze too.
Yeah, sure. So, Sam can be there too. I am.
Ooh, what if John shows up with a bucket?
John Henry.
Yes.
I don't know if he'll show up or not, but. All right. Anyway, can we get back to the rest of the news, please?
I think we can, okay. But I don't know if our video issue has been solved yet. And I think Mitch is having a meltdown.
Oh, he is?
In the other studio. Trying to figure it out.
Well, because he cares and he's passionate and he's pissed probably.
He cares a lot. This next story is one that I wish we have video of, but I don't know if we do yet. A Connecticut family's husky is a hero after stepping between a young child and a charging black bear.
Ooh.
Home security footage captured the bear running towards the child, but the dog sprinted across the yard to confront the bear and chased it away. The boy's father, Jeff Tazara, shared his account.
She always puts herself like in between strangers and the kids, but you know, you always wonder in the back of your head, like, what's going to happen if she needs to protect us? And now we know, probably a T-bone or something like that she'll get to enjoy.
Nice steak for that sweet little girl dog.
That is one of the many million great things about dogs, is that they are very close to humans when it comes to intelligence. And, like, to step in like that, like, to know that the family, the little child is in jeopardy and step in like that is the best.
Yeah, they are very smart.
I know you don't like dogs.
No, I do like dogs.
But many of us love dogs.
I've had a dog. I probably had a dog. How long did you have your first dog for?
Kobe. Well, my first dog, Winky.
Yeah.
I didn't have Winky for too long till my dad ran Winky over in the driveway and then lied to me about it for 30 years.
That's sad.
But
we've gone over it.
And then We had Winky, then we had Shadow, yeah. then we had Moose.
I had a dog for 20 plus
Moose
years.
Moose is a good name. How big was Moose?
Moose was like a mid-size, like a mutt.
I want Moose to be like 90 pounds.
And then, of course, Kobe Wobey. We probably had Kobe Wobey for 10 years.
Yeah. I had a dog for 20 plus years, basically.
I know, but now you don't like dogs.
Well, now I don't because they're too much. It's not that I don't like dogs. I don't want a dog. Too much responsibility. And I told you, dog people, you know, I live in a building where people have dogs. And there are a lot of people who don't properly take care of their dogs. They let them just drop deuces everywhere. They don't pick them up. Yeah, when you live in the city, Mango, you live in the city. Let's not act like you don't walk down Dot Ave and you're probably stepping over landmines.
I got in trouble for saying that I'm picking up the landmines and putting them in the wrong kinds of trash cans. Right. So I had to atone for that.
So now they're just a lot of responsibility. So that's why I wouldn't have one now.
I don't know if my dog would do this for me. I'm going to be honest.
You know, you don't think Killington would save your life and challenge a bear?
I'm very surprised that this is a Siberian Husky in this video because I love them.
Right.
My dog is not like the most protective or aggressive or I would say intelligent dog. So
you got a dumb dog.
I feel like she would roll over and show her belly to the bear. And we'd be like, great. Thanks, Killington.
This is Art from Walpole. Whoa, Art.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
Hey, Greg, concerning our Red Sox, I got to tell you something. I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure now on Breslow because this pitching situation he's put together is absolutely amazing, and it would be a tremendous waste and shame unless he brings not just one and not just two. I think he needs to bring at least two or three major league bats into this anemic lineup that they have. That somehow they've come back from the dead with because they're amazing pitching staff. And I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him right now to do the right thing and don't waste an incredible performance by the pitching staff.
Yeah. Listen, it is wild to me that it was not that long ago, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, that Sam Kennedy was on here talking about how the pivot was about to begin and they were basically going to sell everything.
Right.
And now you can't.
No.
You've got, right? I mean, is there anybody who, I know that died in the wool, longtime, lifelong fans are like, this happens, and they get you all excited, and then they let you down. But the turnaround is incredible.
Well, and Greg, it doesn't happen. You even said, you gave us a stat. This is only the second time it's ever happened in the franchise's history, and the first time since 1977 that they went 9-0 on a road trip.
Yeah.
If they
to be, is there anybody who is going to object to them being buyers?
No. And especially if they come back from the All-Star break, they'll have about, two and a half weeks before the trade deadline. If they come back,
you have, I think you play the Rays right after the break. Correct. Am I right about
that? That's a reality check.
So
maybe.
that's a legit reality check for them. And,
but let's say you go over 500. I don't know how many games you'll have between when the All-Star breaks over and the trade deadline. Let's say you go over 500 in that stretch. I think based on, because the caller makes a great point, your rotation is, what's the word we've been using?
Spectacular.
No, remember there was another word used.
Exceptional.
Exceptional. It's exceptional. So why would you not take advantage of that and go, and you don't even have Garrett Crochet. So when he comes back, it's just icing on the cake to legit go out there and get two legitimate major league bats to add to this lineup. Because, in the world of baseball, they always say, when you have pitching like that, and if this team can get in this the postseason, they could make a deep, legitimate run.
A deep run in the playoffs. Yes. I can't believe I'm saying that, but yes.
Right.
Because of the pitching.
Right. So why wouldn't you be very aggressive at the trade deadline? And I'm not just saying bringing in, average major league hitters. I'm talking about guys that go above and beyond where you're going like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming.
And after the All-Star break, Wiggy, you get a 4-game series with Tampa, followed by a 3-game series with the Orioles, another series with the Blue Jays, and then the Athletics.
All right.
So three teams that you are better than and can beat, and then a series with the Rays.
You're a half game out of a wild card spot this morning as you sit here.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Right.
Because you were 10 games out not that long ago.
Right. Right.
Or whatever the number was.
And I think you're only like a game or a game and a half out of the second wild card spot. So you have two wild card spots sitting in front of you. You know, the division, all right, let's say that ship has sailed. Who gives a damn? We saw it in basketball. You see it in other sports. Like, it's all about getting to the postseason. But it is about, and I kind of agree with the caller, big splashes during the trade deadline.
Yeah. And leave a Hill note on this. What do you think the direction ought to be? You can do that on the Odyssey app, and we will play the best ones back coming up at 9:30.
You hear the music, you know what time it is. It is time for Rob Bradford, WEEI, and Baseball Isn't Boring. He is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradfo, how we doing?
Top of the McFarland to you. I appreciate you guys. And by the way, everybody over in Scotland, if you have to do the rank of top five things that people came back to Scotland with, it was an appreciation of the Jones and Keefe show, number one, not even close.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Bradford, was this a planned trip all along, or were you just like looking for clicks because the Tartan Army was so so helpful when
Bedard
they came over here?
Bedard might lecture you on all those clicks, yeah.
Some people might say I was respecting the moment. I was just paying it forward.
Nice.
That I was showing my appreciation for our appreciation. So, yeah, no. My daughter graduated from University of Edinburgh, but nobody needs to know that other than my daughter.
Oh, congratulations. Well, congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so.
No, it timed out well.
Interesting.
That's cool. That's great.
And then you got a kilt presented to you? I would think for a man going to Scotland as often as you, maybe you'd have a kilt, but you needed to.
I had a lot of the power of, I was on the afternoon show, and the power of that show, I had like five kilts presented to me.
Wow.
But you know, the commitment to the kilt is like this is a 30 for 30. I mean, this is basically it might be my autobiography. Like the commitment to the kilt or the non-commitment to the kilt.
So when you're saying you commit, that means you were wearing nothing under it. Commit. That's what that means. It's a commitment, right?
Yeah, it's walking around in a little bit of more of a breezy situation than you used to. Yeah, I think what a segue to the Red Sox. They're walking around with a little bit more breezy situation than they're used to.
There it is.
What's it like on the plane? What's that? What's the layout like on a plane ride?
On the Red Sox plane? Also true.
Yeah. The Red Sox plane. Well, how about those guys? And leave it to best friend of the show, Peyton Tolley, for taking that moment and kind of like putting a little positive spin on it, giving you another great quote, but just sort of like summing up the way this team has been kind of reacting to stuff over the last 3-4 weeks or so.
Yeah. First of all, believe me, I've been on those planes before, like another six brag, but it's, they get more than just the five donuts. They could have all the plane failure in the world. It's a nonstop wave of food. Yeah.
It's
Coronas. It's everything. So anyway, I think that it's funny because you do have these two instances and you do have these two moments where the plane situation, and a lot of people thought this is going to derail everything. And I actually thought I'd go back a little bit when Contreras threw his helmet. I'm like, there you go. That's where it derails it. Forget about the plane. That's where it derails it. And no, they bounced back and had another plane incident. And here they go. It's funny to me, though, that now they say, oh, you know, Anthony Siegler, who we can talk about, I think is a huge, huge part of the solution. He's been awesome, enthusiastic, and everything else. But he said, you know, we're always in it. We're never out of it. Like, yeah, you can feel this way. You can feel the vibes about the plane, and you can feel the vibes about coming back and everything else when you win some games. Like, this is what happens. Like, but let's not say it was the plane. It was the bonding experience. It was the ability to come back and wear. No. You figured out the best way to play baseball, which is pitching the crap out of things and also executing a lot better than you did.
This team now is worth investing in, true or false?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the American League, we said, put this on the bumper stickers for the last 2 years. The American League stinks. And we'll say it again. Well, who can the Red Sox, this current iteration of the Red Sox, beat? Who can't they beat in the American League? The answer is they can beat everybody. There's no question about it, especially with this pitching. So I think that you do probably invest, which is, I know I'm probably going against them a million times where I said you don't, unless you come in and suddenly somebody just blows you away for a Sonny Gray deal. Because that's the, to me, that's the tricky one. There is no pitcher other than maybe Tarik Skubal who is gonna get more than Sonny Gray. And I know he has no trade. I know that, you know, he's gonna cost some money, but he's been elite. And the hardest thing for these teams to get is, as we found out last year, is a starting pitcher who's gonna pitch in the playoffs. And Sonny Gray has legit been an ace pitcher, probably, you know, as much as anybody in baseball so far, even though, you know, no All-Star, sad trombone.
Is there any kind of conspiracy with that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Why on earth is Sonny Gray not an All-Star?
I have no idea. Okay. It's stupid.
It's
yeah,
really strange.
It was weird, honestly, where you go back to the initial, when they made the initial picks, and I think Nick Martinez and Sonny Gray were tied for the second best ERA. So right there, and then you keep going down the list. And I know that the everyone say, oh, the olds don't look at the ERA. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to look at the ERA. And Michael Wacha was like 13th or 14th. It just didn't add up. And then you have guys drop off. So, like, what are we doing here? I mean, he is absolutely elite, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there is even before Ranger Suarez got here, even before a week, 2 weeks ago, that he had a much better case, or not much better, but a better case than Ranger Suarez did, so I didn't understand that even then.
All right, what's your takeaway on Roman Anthony being sent away from the team? And then I guess as sort of like an add-on to that, I know Mego and some of they were talking about a little bit on the morning, is it simply a coincidence that Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer not around, and the team goes on this long heater that they're on?
Well, they've done this, you know, I would say this, is that before you go down that road, they've done this on the road, you know, where, mm-hmm. you know, before when they were at home, they were still around. Roman Anthony hadn't been going on road trips. So, you know, I wouldn't buy too much into that. You know, it's the whole, the training room is crowded, everything else, but it's the whole, I guess, I think it's a lot of times it was Roman probably too. He didn't want to be bothered by Jamokes like myself asking him like questions all the time when he didn't have any really like tangible answers. What's he going to say? So it was probably a combination of those two things. But to come back to your original thing, I don't think that them not being around had anything to do with this winning streak. I do think that finding a guy like Anthony Seigler, was an enormous, enormous part of the situation.
Yeah, I subscribe a little bit more to that. Not that it was like, oh, Roman Anthony or Meyer were preventing you from that, but when you look at the lineup and how like desperate 7 out of the 9 guys are that are there, it like fits perfectly with the team because not even all those guys are guaranteed to be on the major league roster in a couple of days. So they're all just like playing right now that they're like must win games, and it's worked for them. Now I don't know how long that can last necessarily. I'm not saying don't tinker with it, don't add anybody, but it does seem like there's a real sense of desperation with the guys that are playing right now.
Yeah, I would buy into that, but you know, I would also say this is that, you know, it's great. Listen, enjoy your All-Star break. It's great. They've won 9 in a row. They've gotten right back into this. But the story is yet to be told, guys. I mean, you're going to be at home against American League East. Teams that are playing pretty well. Baltimore, I think, has won 4 in a row. You have the Jays. You have the Rays, obviously, first-place team. And then after the A's, you have the Dodgers. So it's not going to be easy. And a lot of times we've seen this, where you get some guys on a heater, and all of a sudden it goes the other way once Major League Baseball starts adjusting to you. But I am intrigued by some of these guys. You sort of reach the point where, all right, maybe there is something. Jake Bennett, oh my goodness, absolutely, maybe there is something. And Seigler, I know I mentioned him 3 times now, but we should remember that this guy was a first-round pick. So obviously he has talent. So if that's the case, maybe it was just right place, right time. And by the way, right place, right time, because I do think that they needed a personality like that in this lineup as well.
Bradford, you don't really sound like you believe.
Yeah. We're back on the bandwagon, so we'd appreciate some more positivity.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yay baseball.
So, yeah, but
are you on the bandwagon? Or are you off holding on with one leg?
I just
want to
make sure
here?
I'm interpreting the proper tone. You don't really believe.
No, doesn't believe.
Well, no, I deal in math and science. So, I would say this is that, you know, we can't be hypocrites about this. We said, well, I can't be hypocrite about it because I did say
we'll be hypocrites when we want it. Sure can. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sorry. T-shirt. I'm a hypocrite, and I'm proud of it. but I think that you know, we knew this run. You know, with the exception of the White Sox, which you know you had the Angels, the White Sox, the Mets. The Angels and the Mets stunk. You took care of business, and the White Sox were a team where this Red Sox team can beat. Like not great pitching.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's the one thing they can do.
Maybe you also have four straight against the Yankees and two against Seattle Texas.
No,
like,
I'm not, yeah, I firmly believe. I'll say it again. Like, I firmly believe they are a contending team right now. All I'm saying is this: is that you kind of knew this was their chance. They were playing better. A lot of things were falling into place. The schedule lined up for them, and they took advantage of it. They are absolutely a better team, a contending team right now. All I'm saying is that it's the same thing that happened for the last two or three years, guys. I mean, we've seen it where you have to be careful that you come out of the All-Star break on a heater and you're like, we got it all figured out. Because you have to figure out still what you are heading into trade deadline. Because that's ultimately that this is a huge, huge part of the deal. And I think that really that's why I don't think you'll hear any huge rumors or any huge, they're on the cusp of a trade until the very last minute, because I do think they're thinking along the lines of what I'm saying, which is you have to prove that you can beat these teams coming up, and then we'll talk.
Well, it's funny, because I've heard that a few times now. It's like, well, they did this last year. I'm like, last year they
made the playoffs.
Made the playoffs, and they were up 1-0 against the Yankees.
The Yankees right. If their and third if base coach had a clue, they should have beat the
right,
Yankees.
Exactly. So I'm like, that's not a bad place to be in. Like, I'll take that. And
yeah, well, but you go back to a year before. I think a year before may be a better argument for those saying, oh, well, they did it last year. They're going to fall apart. Because the year before, they were in a heater. They come out of the gate. They lose to the Dodgers and the Rockies.
Yeah.
And in large part, by the way, because they were banged up and they didn't have any relievers. But I will say this, like the one thing about this team, I'm not crap. I do think they're a playoff team right now because what they have shown is resilience and the ability to come back when really, really key guys have been injured and not just fold up the tent.
Well, but I guess my concern, though, as much as we're back on board and we're feeling good about this team, the vibes are very high, is the last 2 years, both the year they missed the playoffs and the year they made the playoffs, Breslow had a disaster at the deadline. So as much as he was great in the offseason and brought in these established all-stars that were really good, that's where I'm a little nervous. So even if they're a half game up, half game out, whatever it is by August 3rd, what is that guy going to do on the deadline? I don't have a lot of faith.
Yeah, well, I think that if you believe, and let's go back, that they actually, you know, Breslow had said this all along. We kind of like pushed this to the side after a while, but he said this is, our sole goal is to be a World Series team. All right, if you're back in the equation, you made these moves, you're ready to go, you're now in a position to do exactly that. So if that's the goal, then the trade deadline, make it feel like that way. And don't just say, hey, all these guys are working out, we have no problems, if it hits, it hits, no big deal. No, here you go, Craig Breslow, you had a really good offseason. You put yourself in position to do this. Now is your chance to actually be far more aggressive than you were the last two trade deadlines, because as we have said for about 4 months, it's there to be had, and if you make the right move, you can separate yourself.
Okay, well, I think we all agree with that. Real quick, I want an update to this tweet. This is from April 26th. Woke up to a text from a former Red Sox player who summed up Saturday's moves, firing Cora and the coaching staff, promoting Chad Tracy as interim manager. Quote from the player, it's like crapping your pants and changing your shirt. Have you gotten an update from that player? Have they changed their opinion on
that?
Or no?
A nice shirt.
Yeah.
No, because, I mean, I think that at the time for 2 months, 2.5 months, it was true. You didn't solve your problems hitting-wise, which was the biggest problem.
Well, for 2 months, no.
Like, where Breslow
How about now?
Gets, what? No, well, here's the thing, is that, as we said, it's completely subjective, because you can say, well, the last 2 years, they went on the similar heaters, as we just said, with that same coaching staff, with that same manager and everything else. Where Craig Breslow deserves credit is not firing the pitching group. It's not necessarily is firing the hitting group, because I still don't think that is the right move. I don't know of anyone who thinks that's the right move, where you have 2 months of trying to figure out with a new hitting group. No, it's not the right move, and stats and facts would suggest that was the case. Where Craig Breslow deserves a tremendous amount of credit here is keeping together, building the pitching group, keeping the pitching group together, because make no mistake about it, you know, that is the attire that has gotten you to that point.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. Keep an eye on your phone. Maybe you'll get an updated text from that player. At Bradfo on Twitter and Instagram. Well, he joins
me,
us.
Believe me, that old guy only texts me after midnight.
Bradfo joins us every Thursday, including this Thursday. We'll get some updated buzz, I'm sure, from the All-Star Game. You're in Philly, right, Bradfo? So we'll get some updated intel from when we talk to you on Thursday. Thanks, Bradfo. We'll talk to you then.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
Thank you. All right. Rob Bradford joining us here on Jones and Keefe. We are brought to you by Avellino's Restaurant. If you're planning a corporate meeting or a private party, you can book their beautiful and spacious room, function room for up to 100 guests at goavellino.com. Giant portions, and again, a great place to hold a corporate meeting or private party as well. Goavellino.com. Let's break down some of what Bradfo said. He is not in. Bradfo
does
is not sold.
Seem like he's in.
At all. Nope. Let's get to that with your phone calls next.
Swinging a shot down the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It's hooking. It is out of here. Inside the pole. He picked that one up well. Mona. Adios. And it's 1-0 Red Sox.
Not quite a Willgasm, but fairly close. Fairly close on that one.
That was early in the game. That was early in the game.
That was early. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. We'll take your calls at 617-779-7937. Also, you can listen to us on that Odyssey app. It's a great way to hear the show. You can also press the follow button and have the show shot right to your phone, and press the microphone button and record a message for us, launch a take grenade. We play that in the 5 o'clock hour. And right now, your Red Sox are just doing things that none of us, I think even the team, Chad Tracy, even seems more surprised than anybody that they are in this position, where now you're a half game out of the playoffs. And what do you do now? My God, I mean, what? How long ago was it? Was it 2.5, 3 weeks ago where we had Sam Kennedy on the Greg Hill show saying that they're going to have to pivot? And now, what the hell does this team do? First of all, Ted, what would you do? If you were in Breslow's situation? Because this is a weird spot, man. It doesn't sound like you have a ton of faith that they can continue, at least not, I mean, obviously, this streak has been insane, but at least continue in play winning baseball.
Yeah.
What do you do?
If I'm him, I lean more towards the buy. I don't think you're going to get a lot, really, at this point with so many teams still kind of in it. But Breslow, I mean, he basically fires Alex Cora. So he's betting on himself. He went into the season saying this is going to be a team built on pitching and defense, which that's exactly what it's kind of turning out to be. For me, this is if I'm Craig Breslow, this is his time to kind of show how smart he is. I mean, you know, a lot of the guys he's bringing in are starting to working out. Mm-hmm. So if I'm him, with just with this close, being back into the wild card, to me, I would be more leaning towards the buying side of things. But you know, do you want to trade Sonny Gray? No, because you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. So it would be, to me, if anything, it was going to be he'll buy, and it'll be a tinkering here and there. To me, it's a bet. Clearly, I mean, even though they're hitting in this 9-game win streak, I think they're averaging 5.3 runs per game, which is a lot better than they were doing there for a long time. So. To me, that's where you go, is obviously for hitting, for a bat. I don't think it's going to be a drastic move, Rich. I really don't, but I would lean towards buying you. Are you kidding me? People are pumped for this. People are starting to get back on the train right now. And
people are talking about him. Don't you just notice that? It's something.
And they should. They should. As I said, that they have earned your respect. And I mean, for a while, you know, it was painful to watch these games, and it was painful to cover these games, to be quite honest. Although they were losing so spectacularly that at least they kept it interesting and how bad it was. And then all of a sudden they've turned this around, and as I said, the way they're doing it, it's like they're writing it. Like, it's like it feels like they're writing a story that if for some reason they're able to pull something off this year, we're going to look back and go, can you believe this moment of the season, this moment of the season? When they came back, you know, right before the All-Star break, and then their plane was late, and they, well, you know, for the second time, they had to start a series late because they couldn't travel there. It's really been a kind of a it's like Scanners when the guy's head explodes. I'm sitting here watching this team and not believing what I'm seeing. But it's a great question. Do they buy? Do they sell? Ken Rosenthal chimed in on that today. Let's take a listen.
On June 30th, I wrote this. The surging Red Sox are somehow in the playoff hunt. They had just won five straight. And I said you can blame the watered-down American League and the comments to this column. Now, my comments, or the ones I receive on my columns, are always quite lively. But these were exceptionally lively. People thought I was nuts. People said, and I quote, "This is Ken on weed." Then there was a response. "Nah, I think he's huffing paint thinner. He's way too excited for Bud." And then, "Ken loves his big market baseball bootlicking." That's not true. I write about all 30 teams. Now, the Red Sox proceeded at that point to lose two. And then they won nine straight on the road. And part of the premise of the column was that their schedule was easing. And it did ease. That road trip was against Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels, against the Chicago White Sox and the New York Mets, who, of course, just gave one away yesterday, to give the Red Sox their nine-game road winning streak. This team now, let's look at those wild card standings again. This team, the Boston Red Sox, the team that fired its manager, has had all kinds of injuries, still without Crochet, still without Roman Anthony and others. This team is a half game out in the wild card race. It's incredible. And here we go. Going into the deadline, what will the Red Sox do? I don't think they're selling as of right now. No chance. They've got a chance, and they've got a president of baseball operations. I'm sorry, a chief baseball officer who has been under scrutiny. He's not going to want to concede.
You know what's interesting, Rich?
Real quick, I'm sorry, Ken. I just first have to say before you make a comment that Ken Rosenthal obviously has the nerdiest followers on social media by asking, "Is Ken on weed?"
Well, he wears a bow tie. What do you expect?
Is he smoking the green? Is that what he said? Some nerdy-ass followers, my friend. Okay, I'm sorry, Ken. That just distracted me when he said that.
So part of the office chatter here before the show, Loftus, our sales guy, says, you know what? Kind of disappointed that they win that game yesterday because this is going to endorse the Moneyball approach and they're not going to be aggressive at the deadline. They're just going to ride this as long as they can and be happy to be in contention again and not go hard after a piece. And I think there is some part of that where you worry, does this sort of embolden them? Because you said it yourself, Ted, mm-hmm. This was Breslow's plan, pitching a defense. He didn't think offense was that important, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So do they just continue and not do anything, just stay pat? It feels like they might just be happy with the newfound money and not do a thing, and that would be disappointing.
I do not partake of the tree. Thank you.
I think that would be a mistake because now you have – what is it, Rich? They have our attention now. So
they
so
do.
So to not do anything, considering kind of the bludgeoning they've taken all season long. I mean people have been crushing this team.
And they're still last in home runs, dead last in home runs, second from the bottom in runs scored.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable that they're in a playoff spot.
And so I just think you know what? It's can you capitalize on what you did last year? The first, you know, 4 months of the season has been terrible. Clearly, now you got a little something. I mean, for them to not do anything, to be inactive, I think would be a big, big mistake. They would get crushed. They'd get crucified. And
I don't know that they would.
You don't think?
I think there are enough people that are on the fence because you don't really believe that they're good enough.
I don't.
But are they one move away? That would be the next question. Like, would one right-handed bat make the difference and make you believe they're good?
I would say two would be a little bit. I'd feel a little bit better about it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what was the problem with this for this team in the playoffs last year against the Yankees? Was it pitching or was it hitting? They weren't hitting. There was no offense.
You know what? I am sick of half measures with this team at the trade deadline. They do this every single trade deadline. It's such a non-move. They'll make a move for like a relief pitcher or something that doesn't move the needle. And you know what? Breslow, save your job. Save your job. Do something erratic. Mm. Get a big bat in here. This is one of those situations where if I'm Greg Breslow, I want to prove everybody wrong. Everyone who called for his job, Rosenthal, who said that the entire, basically, he's the one who's next. Hell, we crushed that guy. You know what? Save your job, Greg Breslow. Don't go half measure. Get a big bat in here. Because then, you know what may happen? If you get a big bat in here, there is a chance this team can continue playing close to this level. And then, as you were saying, Ken, what if you got Garrett Crochet back? And what if all of a sudden Roman Anthony comes back and is anything close to what he's supposed to be? All of a sudden, you're talking about a team that legitimately has a shot.
I mean, they got to be thinking that, though, Rich. They got to be thinking about, man, you know, Roman's going to come back. I mean, he's not going to be out. He can't be out for too much longer, please. You kidding me? I mean, maybe, but
I love it. They just sent him away. Just go away. You're depressing me. I mean, go to the Sahara, Florida in July.
Seriously,
and get better.
But so I mean, basically they're seeing that as like free agent pickups. If when they come, you know, Trevor Story. I'm assuming he's coming back. And then you mentioned Garrett Crochet. Those are big kind of names.
They might say that. This is our trade deadline acquisition. Roman Anthony.
Don't do that.
Yep.
Yeah, don't do that. Because I know that's going to be the excuse, and that shouldn't be the excuse. Craig Breslow, save your job. Go out there and get a big bat. Do the one thing that you did not do in the offseason that you've been most criticized for.
But why would he do that? He's now winning with his method. And what's his resume? Last year he got Dustin May and Steven Matz. No hitting. He got Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia 2 years ago, pitching. Mm-hmm. No, I think they got a catcher, Danny Jansen. That's it. He doesn't go after big offense. You're doesn't feel like that's the way to win.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking.
He hasn't won, though. He hasn't worked.
He's winning now, though.
No, he's not winning. He's not even in the playoffs.
No, you were just praising him. Actually, you weren't. You are not sold on Breslow. That's the one thing Rich is not. Rich gives it all to Tracy.
If he gets a big bat, yes. Then I'll be like, finally, you did. You know what? You're a little late on it, but it's about time you finally made the move you were supposed to make. That's been my biggest criticism of him the entire time.
Here's what'll be frustrating, Rich, is that if right now I'm, you know, yesterday you look at Romy Gonzalez, he hit in the four hole. Yesterday he was 2 days ago. He was the cleanup hitter for the Red Sox in the playoffs last year, like Romy Gonzalez, and it's just not good enough. There's, you know, a year later, and here we are. Romy Gonzalez is your cleanup hitter. They need to get a right-handed bat. That would be huge if they did. I just don't trust. Do we trust Craig Breslow to make that mid-season trade?
No.
Joe Ryan. Remember anybody? Remember Joe Ryan? We all thought it was a fait accompli that he was coming here. It didn't happen. I just worry that he's not adept at pulling off a big trade like that in the middle of the season.
Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong, Craig Breslow. I mean, everyone called for you. Everyone said that you're about to get fired, that you are awful at your job. You need a translator. Prove us all wrong. Make a move. Save your job. This is your chance, because how great would it be if you get this bat, everybody's able to come back and get healthy, you can put a gigantic middle finger right in the face of everyone who called you out. And that's just so make the move. No half measures. Go all in. And then, Ken, I will finally give Craig Breslow the credit that you so desperately want me to give him. All right, 617-779-7937. Teddy J, you have like a crystal ball or something. There's something, especially when it comes to the Patriots. I thought the entire time that the Christian Gonzalez deal was going to it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Fait accompli. It's like something. It's going to happen, but my God.
Mm.
There was not only somebody that we had on last week that scared me, an insider, about the situation, but now it seems like he's picking fights with members of the media, and it does not look as ironclad as I thought it was. Teddy J, I want to get your opinion on this when we come back. We'll be right back.